Today on Real Radio.
He says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. And verse 6, he says, if you, Timothy, a good pastor, a good teacher, if you're going to be a good pastor teacher, Timothy, you're to instruct the brethren in these things. What things? The things of 1 Timothy chapter 4, which started out in warning that in the last days there's going to be false doctrine.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We'll be looking at the last 10 verses of chapter 4. Here, Paul admonishes Timothy to shun what we might now call urban legends and to stick with the teaching of Scripture. It's a presentation called The Superiority of the Spiritual Life. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He says this, but reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather to godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, but especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. People, first of all, this section that we're going through is naturally broken up into two sections. It's verses basically 7 to 10. And then verses 12 to 16, and from verses 7 to 10, it's the superiority of the spiritual life. And for us as Christians, if we name the name of Jesus in our lives, it's no shakaroo to us. That's Greek for surprise. That we're to be committed, that we are to be committed people. And you know, what kind of a God would we have if he's asked us to come and give us, give to him our entire lives and all that we have? And he says in his gospel, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you. What kind of a God would we be serving if he said, well, you know, it's kind of cool. Do as you please, and there's a lot of paths to heaven, and you know, if it feels good, do it. And you'll wind up getting into heaven. No, he's a God that is direct and clear, and he's understood because he has made himself understandable and that he's made himself clear. And the clear message is that we're to be Christians in these days. And that word means literally to be like little Jesuses. We're to be Christ-like in the things that we do. And so from verses 7 to 10, it's the superiority of the spiritual life in reality and in purpose. And then in verses 12 to 16, it's the victorious Christian soldier. If you're going to war this fight that Paul talks to us about in Timothy, how are we going to fight it? On what grounds do we fight it? Do we pick up tomatoes and throw them at our wall when we feel like the enemy's attacking us? Do we get a nuclear bomb and blow it up in our living room because we feel a demonic attack coming on? No. Our weapons in this warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual and mighty, the Bible says, through the pulling down of strongholds of the enemy. And so if we're going to be a committed soldier of the cross of Christ, we're going to go against the world, our own flesh, and the flesh of other people, and the devil himself and his co-workers. And so in verses 12 to 16, we'll look at the protocol or the conduct or the example of the soldier, and then we'll end with the discipline or the routine of the Christian soldier. And I want to encourage you right now, before we go any further, you might be saying, this is already too heavy. Well, you know what? I've been feeling in my own heart, because we've been studying the hope of heaven in Revelation 19. Hasn't it been exciting to realize that we're going to go to heaven when we die? That we're going to heaven when this is over? And we're fighting now, we're warring against our own self sometimes with sin and temptation. Hey, we're going to heaven. We're going to be checking out, and it's going to be awesome. And so I encourage you, if you get bummed out, go read Revelation 19. And like we said Wednesday night, if you can't get excited about Revelation 19, you're either lost, you're dead, or you're sleeping, because it's an incredible portion of Scripture. So I want to encourage you that in Revelation 19, this precious captain of the Lord's host, Jesus himself, will see to it that this warfare that we're in now will be victorious, because he is our commander-in-chief, and we'll make it. We will absolutely make it. And that's good news. Sometimes we doubt that. But listen, let's look at verse 7 right off. He says, but reject profane and old wives' fables. In verse 6, he says, if you, Timothy, a good pastor, a good teacher, if you're going to be a good pastor teacher, Timothy, you're to instruct the brethren in these things. What things? The things of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Which started out in warning that in the last days there's going to be false doctrine. I heard a man on a tape, and I promise, it so defiled my soul, I'm not going to listen to these kinds of things anymore. I was listening for you guys, and it wound up polluting my heart, and I don't even want to read it or listen to it or see it on TV. There was a man that you all know his name, and he said, oh, I have a hard time even saying it for fear of lightning. I'm serious. This man said, when Jesus, who was God manifest in the flesh, came to this earth, he was everything that I can be. And when Jesus said, I am, is what he said. I am, ego, me, I'm God. Read Exodus 3:14. This man said, when Jesus said, I am, he said, this person on TV said, I just say, I am too. And my heart grieves and gets sickened. And I was, oh man, where's the fire? And I felt like John in the Bible. God, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to consume this guy here? People, let's wake up. These are the last days. There's false doctrine all over the world. There's false doctrine on your TV, on your radio. And we need to judge everything by the word of God. We need to be serious. And that's why Paul wrote Timothy. You want to be a good pastor, Timothy? Timothy's about 34 to 40 years of age. We know for certain he's under 40. We'll get into that later. You want to be a good pastor, Timothy? Even though you're young, teach the word of God. Know the word of God. Give it to your people. Why? That they can fight off false doctrine that's not biblical. And so this is serious stuff. But he says there now in verse 7, but reject. That Greek word is to depreciate. The word is to depreciate or shove off. We all know about that. You buy a house 2 years ago and it's gone downhill. It's the value has shoved off. It's depreciated. Listen, Paul tells Timothy, hey, concerning all this stuff, but reject, shove off, profane and old wives' fables. Now, why did he say that? Because this is not a slam against ladies or grandmas or anything like that, but this is what was happening back at Ephesus. It had become basically doctrine to so many people, because the women of that town, the unconverted women and the grandmas, they were telling their children what we call now old wives' fables. That word fable in the Greek is mythos. It's where we get the word myths, fables. And so they would take their little five-year-old and they'd sit him down on their little bed at night and go, okay, now here's how the earth works. There's two giant elephants in space holding up the earth. And they go, wow. And they went on with this incredible story, and they had all kinds of stories. And that it was mythology, it was fables. And it had become so pronounced and so profound in that world that it had crept into many of the believers' lives. As they were growing up and being converted into Christianity, people were saying, well, mommy, how did the world come about? Well, you know, it's always been there, and you know, and as there's two big elephants holding up the earth, which is what they thought back in those days, and no, reject them. And those are, if it's possible, innocent fables. There were very serious fables and mythologies being spread around. But Paul tells Timothy, reject it. Reject it. Why? Because people, number one, fables will suck the life out of your Christianity. It'll kill you. And you might ask, well, how does that happen? Listen, it takes the edge off your walk. And what I mean by that is this. You study the Bible, you're learning about the Bible, and you have some real precious person that you may love and believe in. Maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a person on a church or a counselor or a whatever. And they concoct this thing. Well, it's my personal opinion. And they spill their beans. Well, you know what? We've got to be careful because every one of us have influence over somebody. And we need to be dealing out the right stuff. And if you're a Christian and somebody's feeding you non-biblical truth, falsehood, you could get messed up. It takes the edge off your walk with the Lord. Example, somebody comes up and says, well, you really can't believe that part of the Bible. But you respect them. And they have a lot of influence in your life. What do? You disagree? Yes, but even after you disagree, you can still walk away thinking, ooh, man, could that be true? Listen, you need to guard your heart. We need to guard our hearts and minds. We need to reject fables. Now, my mom was born and raised in Hawaii, and boy, I was brought up with fables about these little things, and I'm not going to tell you all the Hawaiian names, but sometimes when my mom had just got done cleaning my room, she goes, don't go in there. The Manahunis are in there. The Manahunis? What's a Manahuni? Well, they're about this big. Now, listen. It's broad daylight. That's okay. I won't go in my room, all right? Fine. I'll go back outside. Well, hey, the sun would go down, and my mom would go, time to go to bed. No way. What's the matter with you? You know, get to bed. Man, I used to think things lived underneath my bed and Manahunis. Hey, you know, that's nuts, man. That's crazy. I understood why my mom did it. Now we just put a padlock on our house and when it's clean, leave the kids outside. No, I'm kidding. No, not in our house. Hey, that's craziness. But yet, look, I'm 34 years old. I still remember that. That was 30 years ago. We remember things that are silly and weird. Why? Because when we're young in the faith, even, we're impressionable. We can be told things and, oh, really? And we go for it. We need to be careful because it'll suck the life out of us. It'll take the edge off our Christianity, and we become powerless when confronted with the false. I read this week, I was reading John MacArthur's commentary on 1 Timothy, and MacArthur said he had a dear friend who wanted to go into the ministry, and all of his friends, including MacArthur, said, don't go to ministry or to seminary. Study, get tapes, get good books. And he goes, no, I got to do it. And he goes to a liberal seminary here in Southern California, and he came out a bartender. He came out a bartender. He gave up on the Bible because he had unconverted professors in the school of theology who didn't believe in the inspired word of God and came out a knucklehead rejecting the word of truth. And it's serious. He says, man, Timothy, reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise. This word exercise is very interesting. It's where we get the word gymnasium. But we need to be careful. Instead of falling for this mess, we need to exercise. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, Because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Why? They're not exercising. Colossians 2:8, beware, it says, lest anyone rob you or cheat you through vain philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men. You got that? You know what? Are you excited about this? I'm very excited about this. You know why? Because this little church is growing, God's moving, and we meticulously try to bring you the Word of God. And it's upsetting some people and it's blessing some people. I tell you, if we upset 100 people and bless one person and we're standing on the truth, then we're happy. And so that's why we're giving this out to you. You may think, well, man, kind of hard. We're going verse by verse. And it's precious to our souls. We delight in the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:17 says, you therefore, beloved, since you have known these things beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness and be led away to error. Are you steadfast for Jesus? You know what I mean by steadfast? When you're at work and the people are pressuring you to compromise, are you steadfast for Jesus? Hey, I love you guys, but I can't do that. Oh, come on, honey, if you love me. No, I do love you, but I can't do that. I love Jesus more. Oh, come on, just jockey the numbers a little bit, won't you? And alter things. No, I can't do that. Hey, that's steadfastness, hanging in there on truth and the Word of God. Because it can be stolen out of your life, in my life. It can slip away. And that's why God put 2 Peter 3:17 in there. But we need to guard ourselves against this stuff. And I also need to say this, people. We need to guard ourselves against what we're hearing, the rhema. Oh, yeah, I know God said that in His Bible, but God told me this. Hey, listen, protect your heart. If it's not in the Word of God, then jam, split, get out of there. And everyone's getting in these last days a revelation. Somebody said, well, you know, God told me that Jesus was rich. And so He said it's okay for me to be rich. And if you're not rich, something's wrong with you because Jesus was rich. Where's that in the Bible? Well, God told me. Hey, what God told you? The God of this earth? The God of this world? Or our God in heaven? We need to be careful and guard our hearts against these things. But this word is a beautiful word, exercise. He says there in verse 7, exercise yourself rather to godliness. It's the word gymnazo, and you got it. It's where we get the word gymnastics or gymnasium. Isn't that neat? It means to stretch out, to exercise to the point of pain. And every young man between the age of 16 and 18 in the Greek world were expected to go to the gymnasium and work and work and work hard, beating their bodies into an incredibly fit machine for athletic performance for the Olympics. And what he's saying here is, listen, exercise yourself, work out, aerobic. Hey, put the praise tape on and read your Bible or something, you know. Exercise yourself rather to godliness or godlikeness, like God. Now, this word gymnastics or exercise implies a rigorous, self-sacrificing training program. So it presupposes that Christians are going to be on a program. I don't want you to raise your hand, but are you disciplined in your Christianity? Some of us may jog, man, and we got the pound and the V8 juice and, you know, and we're real disciplined. And you go down the freeway, don't you go down the freeway? 5 o'clock in the morning at LA Fitness. There's people jogging and it's packed. And you look right through the window. 5 o'clock. Man, if we would do that for our Lord in spiritual things, we'd be animals. We'd be so buffed spiritually. I mean, we'd have just prayer bulging out of our shirts and, you know, we'd have hospitality like this, you know. We'd be just incredibly built for the kingdom of God if we exercised ourselves rather to godliness. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but if I discipline my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might find myself disqualified. Paul says, man, I'm not going to let my body dictate my spirituality. And I got to share it with you because God shared it with me. God said to me, you need to do this verse. You need to exercise yourself to godliness. Well, you know what? When I used to work out, when I was in the world, man, I was not that working out's in the world. We all need to work out, and we are the temple of the Lord. We need to stay in shape as much as it is possible. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I used to work out so hard, and I'd be there pumping iron and taking all kinds of pills. I mean, not drugs. I mean, vitamins, you know. And you know what, man? You don't work out for 2 weeks, and you feel like a noodle. It doesn't last. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting or working out our holiness in the fear of God. And then 2 Timothy 2:3, in this really a disciplined state, you therefore must endure hardships as a Christian. Can you believe that's in the Bible? You've got to endure hardships as a Christian. It says there, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, for no one who's engaged in the warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Boy, I'm convicted. I need to sit still and know that He is God. And my brain says, you got to go do this instead. No, and it's that war. Man, I need to let the things of the world get away. I need to push those off and be committed to the Word in all things. He goes on to say in 2 Timothy 2, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes, according to the rules. You want to be a Christian? How many of you want to be a Christian? Come on. We're going to ask all of you to come forward right now. Listen, if you really want to be a Christian, and if I really want to be a Christian, you need to exercise yourself to godliness.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the last 10 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul admonishes Timothy to shun old wives' tales and to stick with the teaching of Scripture, God's written word. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder that if you've made Real Radio a part of your life, let us know. It's easy to do so. Call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, for instance, just click where it says, send us a message. Here's one from Jolene in Hawaii. Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to let you know that I listen to your Bible teaching program on radio station K-Lite 1040 in Honolulu. As your visually impaired sister in the faith, I thank our blessed Lord so much for using these teachings in a profoundly life-changing way to both nourish my own 25-year-long relationship with Him and to prepare me for greater works of service that would glorify His name and edify His saints. Please keep up His precious work diligently so that when He returns for the church, He will find you faithfully about your Father's business. God bless you in your ministry this day and forever. May everything you say and do prosper under His right hand. Well, thank you very much, Jolene. Remember, call, click, or write. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says send us a message, or use our toll-free phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or drop us a card or a letter in the mail. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.